Jesus' name, amen.
All right. I have a little housekeeping before I start. Greg and I miscommunicated about who's going to be printing the questions, so I'm going to tell you what the questions are, and somebody should write them down at your table. I can also reread them. I'll reread them at the end. All right. Number one, what is your routine for putting on the robe of Christ? When have you felt most in touch with Christ? Discuss. What do you struggle with when you attempt to spend a quiet, most effective in overcoming these struggles? Quiet time with the Lord. So I'll read down again. What do you struggle with when you attempt to spend a quiet time with the Lord? What has been most effective in overcoming these struggles? Does anybody need me to read it again? All right. All right. So let me get started. And this is an extremely serious topic. And when I was discussing it with Greg, a revelation came to me that the evil one does not want you to hear this topic, this lecture. And in fact, as you'll see later on, he set up the world so that you don't listen to Christ and you don't put on the robe of Christ. So if I seem a little serious, that's why I'm serious. I was totally convicted of that. And when I mentioned it to some other people who are believers and I told them what it is, they agreed with me. But first of all, I start with a little bit of a joke, which segues into the presentation. Now, some of you went to Sunday school, and you remember what it was like when you were 5 and 6 to go to Sunday school. Well, this poor Methodist teacher is teaching Sunday school on Sunday, and the school superintendent comes to her and says, "Mrs. May, we've had a lot of complaints that you're not discussing Jesus enough in your class." She said, "Oh, Mr. Superintendent, I will try to do better." So she walks into her class thinking this is the time to start up. So she, after telling them when they're going to get their snack, she says to them, "Where is Jesus?" A little girl, very bright and very well turned out, Judy raises her hand and says, "Jesus is in my heart." Then another little girl, Claire, raises her hand and says, "Jesus is in heaven." And the teacher thinks this is going real well. And then she notices Bobby in the back waving his hand and yelling out, "Teacher, teacher, they all got it wrong. I know where Jesus is." And she reluctantly calls on Bobby. And she said, "All right, Bobby, where is Jesus?" And Bobby said, "Oh, teacher, it's obvious. He lives in my bathroom at home." So, and this joke works better if any of you have had to share a bathroom with multiple people. So she says, "Bobby, what would make you think that Jesus lives in your bathroom?" He said, "Teacher, it's really, really simple. Every morning, my father comes down from his bedroom, goes to the bathroom, knocks on the door, and says, 'Jesus Christ, are you still in there?'" So, and I can relate to that joke because my father had a bath or a shower scheduled for you. He had scientifically determined that you could shower completely in 3.5 minutes. Anyway, my act of rebellion when I bought my first apartment was to stay in the shower for 5 minutes. But I really want to tell you where Jesus is and how to contact him, because, as I'll say later on, we have so many things going on in this world that are rigged to make it difficult for you to contact Jesus. All right. Now I'm going to read the passage from Galatians in honor of Stosh. I don't know if any of you remember Stosh, but he could always quote something out of Galatians no matter what the subject was. So, all right. And when I read this to you, there's a little history that goes into this, which is we know that Paul had some sort of hand injury, and usually he had a scribe write his letters. But this part of Galatians, he wanted it to be clear that it was him writing it. So the last part he actually wrote in his own handwriting, and it says that, "See what large letters I am writing to you with, my own hand. And those who want to make a good showing in the flesh would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but their desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far from be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. As for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy upon them and upon the Israel of God." All right. "And for me, from now on, let no one cause me trouble. I bear on the body the marks of Jesus." Now I'm going to read the same thing again from the message because I think it helps elucidate it. All right. "Now in these last sentences, I want to emphasize in the bold scrawls of my personal handwriting the immense importance of what I have written to you. These people who are attempting to force the ways of circumcision on you have only one motive. They want an easy way to look good before others, lacking the courage to live by a faith that shares Christ's suffering and death. All they talk about the law is gas. They themselves don't keep the law, and they are highly selective in the laws they do observe. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast of their success in recruiting you to our side, or their side. That is contemptible. For my part, I'm going to boast about nothing but the cross of our Master, Jesus Christ. Because of that Christ, I have been crucified in relation to the world, set free from the stifling atmosphere of pleasing others and fitting into the little patterns that they dictate. Can't you see the central issue in all this? It's not what you and I do, submit to circumcision, reject circumcision. It is what God is doing, and he is creating something totally new, a free life. All who walk by this standard are the true Israel of God, his chosen people. Peace and mercy on them. Quite frankly, I don't want to be bothered anymore by these disputes. I have far more important things to do. The serious living of this faith, I bear in my body scars from the service to Jesus. May our Master Jesus Christ give freely and be deeply and personally yours, my friends. Oh, yes. So, we have a tendency in our human form to want to think that we can get to God by following certain rules and certain acts, and if we just act in the way of what God wants, we will get to God or to Christ. Well, I'm not big on heresy, but that is a heresy. It's fallacious. And not only is it fallacious, but it takes away the most precious gift that Christianity has given us, which is our ability to connect with Christ. And we are, the devil is constantly, and he's turned up the noise lately, about us, to make it harder for us to contact with Christ. I didn't bring it up this time. I've got my timer on my watch, but somewhere in my pocket is my cell phone, and that is another distraction that keeps us from focusing in on Christ. All of the distractions, be the movie stars, be the constant notifications, be our politics, it is all designed to separate us from Christ and make us more susceptible to the wiles of the evil one. I know that's some tough medicine, and I originally wasn't going to say that, but when I was talking to Greg, I became totally convicted of it. So if it bothers you, see me afterwards. I don't know what I'll do, but see me afterwards. So, all right, so let's talk about, I've read you two verses from Galatians. So what he's clearly saying is that you need to be in contact with Jesus, and being in contact with Jesus and being in Jesus is the very first step. And you cannot get, you know, remember, you cannot get to Jesus by doing what you consider the right thing and then what the women in church do best, judging who hasn't done it correctly. So, and in fact, when he says, do not be judged, he's talking about the human desire to reduce religion to a set of rules, and if you follow those rules, you will find either heaven or Christ, or I don't know, maybe you'll get a coupon for something off at Pick and Save. And this is a fight that runs throughout Christianity and Judaism, we keep coming back to the same problem, which is people want to have a checklist. If I do this, I do that, and do this, I'm getting to going to heaven, and I'm all right with Christ. And please don't make it take more than 10 minutes. One of the things that annoys me when I go to church is when the service is on, and it's supposed to be approximately an hour, about 15 minutes before it ends, the women start looking at their watches and tapping their toes. And if it's like another Sunday recently where he went 10 minutes over, I heard all these murmurs about what it was doing to their day that he was going 10 minutes over. And you know, the other thing that when you go to temple on the high holy days, one of the things that God rebukes you for and tells you why you have to be in services so long is because instead of thinking about God, you think about your work, your other issues, and it takes a long time for him to break through. So, and the other trap is the question of works. And it is not that difficult. It's actually very easy. Because it's, if you want a how-to-do-it process, I'm going to give it to you. And then I'll tell you how to even a little further here. When you put on the robe of Christ, when you immerse yourself in Christ, you naturally hear the voice of Christ telling you what the good works that he wants. So it isn't that you're not going to do good works. It's just that you can't get to Christ by doing good works. I mean, Mother Teresa found that out. She thought if she did all these things, she would get to Christ. And undoubtedly she was doing his work, but she had, you know, passed one, step one and gone to step two. So let me tell you a little bit of a personal story. You know, I think a lot of people know that my oldest daughter died in April 11th of last year. And that was a time of great agony for me. But I did not lose my faith, and I kept praying. And one day, a book showed up. I subscribed to Audible, and the book is on mindfulness, which is staying in the present moment and actually not being distracted. And so I listened to the book, and he talked about the most effective way to be mindful is to focus on your religious figure that makes the most for you. And so I started doing that. And meditation is a very loaded word. But we know that meditation was actually really first institutionalized in Christianity. And when the monks chant, they're meditating. It's a way of getting your brain, so, you know, be still and know that I am God. It's a way of stilling your brain so that you can feel the divine presence. And in our case, we know what the divine presence is. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Go to Christ. Don't go to whether you're, what shape your penis is in or whatever. Because these, you know, there is a tendency in this world, and here's one of the things that the devil does in order to prevent us from getting to Christ and unifying. He wants to turn everything into a tribal or a club. So, and in order to have a club, you have to have membership and you have to have people that are on the outside of the club. So, I don't remember how many Christian denominations there are, but there are a lot. Randy could probably tell me, but I don't know.
Six.
What?
6,000.
All right. So, and the difference in these denominations, in my opinion, is mostly the work of the devil to make us think that the other people are not followers of Christ and to separate us out and let us not unify as followers of Christ, and we come up with doctrinal differences. And, you know, the hard part about Christ for all of the theologians, I got 10 minutes, for all of the theologians is that it's not that difficult. The beauty of Christianity is it's actually a very simple religion, not simple-minded, but God gave us a path that is broad and easily followed and has one lodestar, and that is Jesus. So here's what I want you to do. And in a few minutes, I'll lead you through a little bit of this. And what worked for me, and there's a Harvard professor who studied this, and it's in the great courses, what works is mindfulness. And N.T. Wright has talked about Christian mindfulness. And what it means is that you are mindful of the presence of Christ. And that's how you go about putting the robe of Christ on. When I had my moment with Christ on, as Richard used to say, on Silver Spring, which I think amused him, I don't know if it would have been better if it had been on Lake Drive. That was a blessing. and I had prayed for it, but that was a blessing. But I was lucky I got that, because I was kind of like the guy who needed gasoline in his tank, who was driving all over looking for gasoline without having the slightest idea where the gas stations were. Now, I can tell you, I can go to where the gas stations are. So the technique is extremely simple. And Jesus did it when he went into the wilderness for 40 days. And that is to meditate on the presence of Christ. And there are multiple ways of doing it. Now, I've been suffering off and on from the stomach flu, and I had a bad attack the night before last. And I woke up in the morning not feeling well, and I wanted to get back on my feet, partly to get this talk a little more ironed out. So I actually meditated on Jesus for an hour. I'm not saying you have to meditate on Jesus for an hour. 5 minutes if you want, 10 minutes. But this is how you do it. And by the way, there's the book on mindfulness. If you don't have Audible and you give me your email, I will send it to you for free, and you can listen to the whole thing where he talks about the scientific basis for it. But here's how it goes. You pick a phrase. It could be scriptural. It could be a affirmation. Now, it has to be something that directly relates you to Christ. It can't be something like pick up my laundry in the morning. So how it works is you pick a phrase, and sometimes you can actually change the phrase for the next session if you need to. I'll give you some suggestions. Christ is my Lord and Savior. Jesus loves me. I love Jesus. Any scriptural reference to Christ out of the New Testament. And it's short. And the way it works is you get conscious of your breath, and you scan your body to relax it. And here's another one that I find particularly works for me, which is, I am filled with the healing light of Jesus Christ. And what you do is and it takes a while, you get conscious of your breath, and some people like to count, and you start to say that phrase to yourself as you monitor your breathing. Now, here's what's going to happen to you. Thoughts of the everyday world are going to intrude. Some people call that monkey mind, because our minds act like monkeys climbing all over the place. And having a monkey mind is pretty normal. And what you'd simply do is, when you notice that your mind has gone somewhere else, you simply bring it back to Christ. There's no condemnation. There's no... And you do this. And the way I do it is, I have one rather long meditation session, and then 4 or 5 times a day I stop for a minute and do it again. Now, here is the bonus in this. Not only does this meditation help you get in touch with Christ at that moment and help you put the robe on of Christ, but as you go throughout your day, without even trying, and meditation is not about trying, Christ will come unbidden to your mind. You will start either hearing the phrase that you repeated or something else. And it just, you put yourself in touch, and so he continues to send you messages. In our church, there's a banner up which says, Christ in front of you in all things you do. And people get up and talk about how hard it is to keep Christ in front of them. And that's because they're not going the right way. And, you know, we've heard about prayer unceasingly. Well, this is really what it is. People think of prayer as petitionary prayer. That's only a small part of prayer. Most of prayer is to get you in touch with the divine. so that you can have that confidence and you can sample it during your lifetime. Of course, when you die, you're going to get an even bigger sample, or maybe the whole enchilada. But I was in extremely deep grief about Katie, but when I started on this and somebody sent it to me as a way to mention that it's a way to get out of your grief, and knowing that I was a Christian, that there's Christian meditation has been around longer than any other form of meditation. Some Buddhists may dispute that, but they're none in this room, so I'm not worried. And let me just show you how it works. So I want you to pick a phrase. Think about the phrase. And by the way, it doesn't have to be the right phrase. You can change it again. And close your eyes and notice your breath coming in your nose and then out of your mouth. And as you do that, count up to 10. 1, Jesus loves me. 3, 4, Jesus loves me. 5, 6, Jesus loves me. 7, 8, Jesus loves me. 9, 10, Jesus loves me. 1, 2, Jesus loves me. 3, 4, Jesus loves me. 5, 6, Jesus loves me. 7, 8, Jesus loves me. 9, 10, Jesus loves me. 1, 2, I am filled with the healing presence of Jesus. 3, 4, I am filled with the healing presence of Jesus. 5, 6, I am filled with the healing powers of Jesus. 7, 8, I am filled with the healing powers of Jesus. 9, 10, I am filled with the healing powers of Jesus. Now, if your mind has drifted off, bring it back to Christ, and we'll do this one more time. 1, 2, I am filled with the healing light of Jesus. 3, 4, I am filled with the healing light of Jesus. 5, 6, I am filled with the healing light of Jesus. 7, 8, I am filled with the healing light of Jesus. 9, 10, I am filled with the healing light of Jesus. And then when you open your eyes, look around slowly and feel the healing presence of Jesus that you have brought into this room. It may sound simple, but, you know, when I was getting ready to convert to Christianity, one of the things that made me convinced that Christianity was the right path was how simple it was. A loving God would not give you something that you had to study for 8 years and get a PhD in order to get in touch with him. He wants everyone to be in touch with him. So he did a couple of great things. One, he sent down Jesus as a man so we could relate to him. And two, he laid out a very simple path to salvation. And all of the things underneath that are maybe explication, but a lot of it's just our desire to complicate things and make it not all right. Now, I've seen 3 people die and who have been in touch with Christ. When Richard was dying, we had a lot of contact with him. My wife and I went out to dinner with Richard every couple of weeks. And this is what Richard did when he was getting ready to die. He did this prayers like this over and over again. And most of you probably saw him before he died. I've never seen a man more at peace in my life. And so we know that this works. But if you think Richard was a saint, and that works for him, my mother was an agnostic atheist all her life. And then when I started coming to Bible study, she would call me right after I got out of Bible study every Saturday and ask me what I had learned, and then she would kind of make fun of it. But I told this to Richard, and he kept saying to me, just got to be patient. And Richard suggested books to send to her, one on Bonhoeffer, other things. And my sister, Carolyn, said, who was taking care of Maryland, and her husband is a elder in the Anglican Church. They said she passed in peace because she had accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior and repeated that frequently and would kind of go into a state of like a fugue, they would say, where she would just be contemplating that. So, and the same thing happened with my father. So this, if it worked with two of the most stubborn people in the whole world, and believe me, I know, it will work for you. All this is a way to focus your mind on Jesus and quiet it so that you can hear Jesus. So you can put on the robe of Jesus. So you don't worry about whether you've been circumcised and whether you were baptized by full immersion or they sprinkled water on you or they said words or you celebrate Christmas on January 13th and not on December 25th. And when you take communion, is it really the blood and body of Christ or is it something else? I mean, I could go on and on about the disputations between Christian sects. None of them matter. The only thing that matters is to bring the presence of Christ into your life. And the more you do that, the greater your life will be. And even though I am still extremely distressed over my daughter dying, we had an extremely close relationship, I'm still at peace with it because when I really started this meditation practice, and it wasn't the first day, but I'd say a month and a half in, it came to me, yes, yeah, she's with Jesus. You may miss her, but she's not gone. And so I challenge you this week to spend 5, 10, 20 minutes. If you don't trust yourself on time, and you don't have to know exact time, but some people set a timer for it. Some people don't. And if you miss a day, that's not the end of the world. But I will tell you another secret, which is for years I've suffered from insomnia, and I can tell you the reason was my parents would pick the time that I was going to bed to have their worst fight of the day. It was pre-programmed in. And it seemed like the dishes were always at fault because they were flying across the kitchen. Don't know what those dishes were doing wrong, but they certainly, thank God they gave dishes out at gas stations. But now I've started, when I lay in bed, on my back, of doing a brief meditation and simply saying, Christ will be with me while I sleep. And my sleeping has gotten a lot better. And I sleep deeper. And the reason I know is because I have an application on my watch that tells me. So I really, really challenge you to do that. Because, and let me tell you something that I am convicted of. In this world, so many people, it isn't that they're even agnostic. It isn't even that they're atheists. They don't even think about it. My brother did a reality program in Germany where he walked around with a fancy yarmulke on and they discussed religion. And lots of people said they hadn't even thought about it. So, and I was telling some of the guys at my table that there was an interview with the guy that they kind of ripped off to make Sheldon Cooper in The Big Bang. One of the creators had known him, and he's a quantum physicist who does have a touch of Asperger's. And he was being interviewed, and he sent some work, and he says that when you look at quantum physics carefully, you can see that God, and he's a Christian, so he said God and Christ are the ultimate reality, and that the secret of life is to be in connection with that ultimate reality. And he said otherwise you're like a plant that's setting its roots down but never gets down to the water. So we in this room, when we do this, I firmly believe that we amp up people's ability to hear that ultimate reality. And, you know, we all want to have somebody to be president who's conservative. Maybe that'll bring us back to the old-fashioned virtues or, you know, close the things on Sunday. And closing things on Sunday would be good. But really the only thing that's going to work is that Christians practice their faith by letting Christ into their life in a very, very simple way. Because the great thing about Christianity is he didn't make it difficult. He sent us down a guide. He showed us that the guide loved us enough to die for us. And then the Holy Spirit came. And when you meditate, that's what you're getting. You're getting in touch with the Holy Spirit. And my wife says that I am a, what did she say? She said I'm a rock solid, diehard Orthodox Christian. I don't know whether that was meant as an insult or a compliment. Depends on the day, and especially whether I took my shoes off when I came into the house or remembered to close certain doors and turn off certain lights. Incantations. But I am deeply convicted that this is simple. And I am also even more convicted that the devil is making this difficult. You know, I was watching a movie last night, which is a documentary. It's called Moscow Woodpeckers. And it's a very scary movie. And it's one of the things that the Soviet Union was doing outside of Chernobyl, that they had this giant antenna. And they were trying to actually interfere with your brain working by sending out something at a certain signal. They call it the woodpecker signal. So we need to amplify Christ. We need to do this. And here's the other part about this. My wife will come in and she says, you have the most peaceful expression on your face when you're meditating. So just like Francis of Assisi said, you know, evangelize always, but use words only when necessary. So I challenge you to do this. I looked it up on the internet, and they've said in the last year that there are at least 50 million more Christians that are doing this. And I'm going to be a little, I don't know what the word, bigoted, I guess. You know, Christianity is the only religion that has as its basis putting on a portion of God and uniting with God. The Muslims believe that you have to make Allah happy every day and by doing what Allah wants. And as far as I can tell, Allah is related to several women I know, because no matter what you do, you can't make them happy. I'm pleading with you. Please, let's bring Christ back into our lives, and let us do it, and hope that the message will spread, because the more people that are focused on Christ, the better this world is. And my love for Christ is so strong, and he is such a constant companion. And this is the way I found the peace that they promise in Christ in the middle of a year when my mother died, my older daughter died, the firm I was with died. I was glad I didn't have a pet. and by the way, if you don't think that this is simple, my 6-year-old grandson, who is the evangelist in his house, says the same thing. He said, just sit down and think about Christ. And his mother will say, should I worry about him? He's just sitting in the chair. And I ask him what he's doing, and he says he's thinking about Christ. And I say, he's not on his phone. He's not doing anything. I think he's doing all right. So if a 6-year-old can do it, we can do it. But remember, like everything else in the world, you're not perfect. You're going to have to bring your mind back over and over again. But I will tell you, at least 3 times out of 4, I come out feeling much better than I started. And I had the flu yesterday. I really wanted to come here. So I meditated on the healing powers of Jesus for an hour, and I felt a lot better. So I'll leave you with that. Thank you for being such an attentive audience.